Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The words for our consideration today are found in the third chapter of the Lamentations of the prophet Jeremiah, beginning in verse 18. And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, I'd like you to take a moment and compose a list in your mind of the ambitions that you have for this life. And add to that list the things that you hope that the Lord will give to you. And maybe at the bottom, add to it the privileges that he's given to you and those that you hope that he will give to you during your life here on earth. And then imagine taking that list and putting it in the shredder. Imagine each and every one of those things on your list denied to you, removed from your life. Now imagine another list, a list of basic human needs, the things that you have to survive. Think of that list and maybe think of what it would take to put that in alphabetical order. And now imagine what it would be like to have the certainty of those ABCs of survival taken away from you so that you don't know what the next minute will hold for you. And all this not because of a tornado or a fire or a flood, but because of sin. Our sin. Now you have the outline of Jeremiah's Lamentations, minus one crucial point that we'll talk about later. The prophet lived through the destruction of Jerusalem and the capture of his people by the Babylonians in 586 BC. He's eyewitness to God stripping away blessing after blessing from the people of Israel because of their stubborn sinning and because they would not allow the word of the Lord to enter into their hearts and bring them to repentance. This text is not about them. It's meant to be a deeply personal contemplation of God's will for the believer. Jeremiah said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Now, I haven't personally seen my hopes from the Lord dashed. But often enough, I have seen crushed something for which I prayed, things which I thought God must surely want for me, things that I thought would make me a better Christian. If I pray that the Lord would grant me a great knowledge of his word, surely, surely God must want that for me. The Lord, however, sees even what we are not self-aware enough to see. So often what I hope for from the Lord is really centered on me, on what I think would benefit me somehow, some way. Surely the Lord must want me to have a great knowledge of his word, yet what I have missed is my own selfish laziness in not taking part in the work of learning it as God has given me ability. And my selfish desire to be something special, and my self-centered thoughts about being secure in my own knowledge. If I pray for the welfare of my spouse, or my parents, or my brothers and sisters, surely God must want that for me. Yet what I have missed is that subtle, selfish desire that I might not have to serve them in some kind of terrible adversity. No matter what I might hope to receive from the Lord, even Christ himself, my desires are tainted by that sinful nature, and how horrible an enemy of God he is. Everything that is right and true is the opposite to him. The evil that I hate because of Christ in me, that I keep on doing. But God would rescue us even from ourselves. At times he does bring affliction on us, causes us to wander in the wilderness, to know bitterness and gall, and we cry out at first denying that God would do such a thing. But the evidence is clear. David cried out, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me?" And then after the trouble is past, we look back on such things and our soul is downcast, devoid of strength, all its splendor gone, removed. And this, fellow redeemed, is precisely what God aims to do. Notice how he did this for the prophet. All that Jeremiah had hoped for was dashed, his people taken into exile, his beloved city and nation a haunt for jackals and riffraff. No matter what blessing he desired to call to mind, he could only find disappointment in what he had hoped for from the Lord. And then we come to that part that I skipped before. The very heart of the Lamentations. "Yet," he says, "all these depressing thoughts, all true, yet this I recall to mind," he writes, "therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." The things that we most often hope for are not the things that we need for our good, not the things that others need for their life and salvation. The affliction, the wandering, the bitterness, and the gall are from our foolishness, which we think is smart, and from the Lord's wisdom, which we think is foolish. And when that moment of clarity comes, as it did to God's prophet, when the cross has been raised up before our eyes and our ambitions crucified and our Savior is before us, then and only then do we see God's mercy and compassion. Only then is the empty tomb transformed from an object of our selfish want for life into an object of great thankfulness and praise and the motivation for sharing the word of life with others. Only then do we recall the word of the Lord and have hope. The only real hope that we'll ever know, the only solid hope that we will ever need. Then God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. We may suffer, but we will not be consumed. He loves us so greatly and so unreservedly that he himself would suffer, even death, even the death of the cross, to keep us with himself forever. His compassion never fails. though we often miss it. Though we often think of him as a child mistakes a parent's love for dislike and hatred instead of seeing that the parent's love is keeping them from hurt. The prophet thinks on these themes in the midst of such great travail, and his thoughts change from a contemplation of God's grace to a prayer and a remembrance of his mercy, and finally to the resolution of his faithful heart to listen and wait for the Lord's solution to all things in Christ Jesus, our Savior. There will be times in your life when you feel like your world is crashing down upon you and uncertainty will plague you. If you're in my 111 class, that's Wednesday. Bring a number two pencil. But seriously, whatever may come to pass, remember that from the ashes of Jeremiah's day, God brought forth his Son to save the world. Recall this to your mind and have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I hope in him. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, of your fatherly goodness, you allow your children to come under your chastening rod here on earth, that we might be like your only begotten Son in suffering and hereafter in glory. We beseech you, comfort us by your Holy Spirit in all temptations and afflictions, that we may not fall into despair, but that we may continually trust in your Son's promise that our trials will endure but a little while and will then be followed by eternal joy, that we thus in patient hope may overcome all evil and at last obtain eternal salvation through the same your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.